Welcome to the Mike and Doug Show. I'm Doug. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Doug.
Holy Lord. Holy Lord, a Buckeye is going to today on our show beat up on a Wolverine.
Well, I happen to know
that that Buckeye has it out for Wolverines to begin with. Okay.
They're not really.
I want to put that qualifying statement in there to begin with because I don't know anybody except Michiganders who can truly hate Gretchen Whitmer as much as a Michigander can, because she has enforced the most strict fascist rules that George Soros and Fauci wanted to enforce of any governor in the country. She has gone out of her way to, in fact, cause more closures, more losses of business, more deaths from suicide, more deaths from being employed, more people unemployed than any other state right here. And then what do we have as the result? The fact that we've been locked down in a prison type system, and of course, no one in history has ever put the non-sick people into quarantine. That's just insanity. But anyway, she's following the rules, but she's following them with a furor, and you wonder why. And so today, Michael McKibben, a Buckeye, is going to tell us why the Wolverine State's governor is criminal. Now, I want to just first off say there's a big deal out there. She took a flight down to see her daddy in Florida. Well, so happens that it was a private plane owned by two of the large manufacturing tycoons in Detroit. So she personally asked the company, asked the owners of the company if they would lend their private jet to her. A seat on that jet cost $27,000 for that flight. She paid $855, and people call it a shady NGO. It's not a shady NGO. This is standard procedure. It was her inaugural fund. And everybody knows that anybody who wants to buy favor of the new governor or a new president donates to the inaugural fund. And then it's used as a slush fund, and that's what she used it for. It's common. It's happened here in Michigan. It happens all over the place, but it's totally illegal. So Michigan Transitioning 2019, her inaugural fund, put up the rest of the money for the $27,000 flight to see her daddy. Now, this makes people think that, of course, she was conducting some type of fraud. It's a 501c4. She doesn't even have to tell people who donated to that fund. And that fund can basically spend its money the way it wants. But she needs to be honest about the fact, when she said she paid for it, that she only paid a very small fraction. And why that, we don't know. And basically, it makes you wonder if all of the statistics, because we know they were, but it makes you wonder if all of the statistics were fudged in Michigan for COVID positive cases, COVID deaths, so on and so forth. I believe that they were all fudged, and that this whole thing that has happened to Michigan should be considered a crime against Michiganders, where she is actually a murderer. So I don't find it nice that she uses her slush fund to go down to see her daddy when, first off, her dad can't be that sick. He'd be in a hospital. She wouldn't be able to see him. I've been in the hospital lately. Nobody got to see me. Nobody gets to a hospital anymore. It doesn't matter whether it's your wife. The only way you get in a hospital anymore in Michigan is if you have a signed affidavit from a doctor that says that the person in the hospital is going to die within the next 24 hours. This is Gretchen's rules here in Michigan. Am I a little upset about this? I'm sorry if my tone is a little bit curmudgeonish, because it is. I'm very upset by the way we've been treated. We've been able to survive. But there's a lot of people out there that didn't, and it was directly her fascist enforcement of these insane pandemic rules that caused her, of course, to have people with guns enter the state house in Michigan. She had to put up a fence around her gubernatorial mansion to protect her. This year alone, $400,000 was spent from that fund for office needs. $60,000 was spent for her travel needs, and $20,000 was just given to her for consulting fees. This person, $1.5 million in a slush fund. She's paying herself for any of her expenses that she wants. She's a fascist, one of the worst fascist governors. And now you have uncovered collusion that should put her in jail. Can you tell us about it?
Well, I have to give a disclaimer since you talked about Ohio State and Michigan. I was a squad leader in the Ohio State University marching band, and therefore, this was during the Woody Hayes, Michigan coach, Earl Schembechler, Bo Schembechler. And we weren't very fond of people from Michigan. In fact, the Ohio State band has a song they sing every week that is not nice to our friends up north. But I've gotten over that, and I like you two, so that's a good start. But anyway, so I'm not doing this as some Ohio State Michigan rivalry here. We just put our researchers on digging a little bit more into this Florida trip story see what was there. And one of the things we learned, which is kind of interesting, is that her father, Richard, was born in Franklin County in Worthington, Ohio, just down the road from us. Didn't know that. And then we start looking at her financial disclosure. And as you know, Douglas, one of the things that we have learned is that about the only time politicians and judges and bureaucrats are even halfway honest is when they want something. And so what they do is in these financial disclosures, which they are ethically required to provide under oath, they are generally more accurate than any other time. So all these spendings that you're talking about after she came into office, we obviously know about them. So somebody has disclosed them. It may or not have been her, but the fact is, even if we don't like the expenditure, the recourse is limited other than to kick her out in the next election. But obviously, if we have rigged voting machines, can't even do that. But we started looking at her father, and her father was a prominent person in Michigan business. He was the CEO for many years of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan. And in 1999, her father started an LLC, a company, and it's a strange name, G.E.R.W., and those periods are in the name, LLC. And it looks like GERW when you look at it. So he's an attorney. So one of the things we also have learned is that when attorneys start playing games like that with the name and the periods in the company names and the commas or lack thereof, they're attempting to hide something and make it very difficult to search and find anything on it. Well, as it turns out, the Michigan Secretary of State has information on this GERW company, J-E-R-W LLC. And that's where we discover it was formed in 1999 and is in operation today. And we started looking at the filings of the company, and lo and behold, in 2002, Gretchen Whitmer enters as some sort of principal in the company on the corporate records. So that's one piece of information. Then we had people who dug up her financial disclosure from last year, where she was required as a candidate for governor to provide a full financial disclosure. And there we discover that she really didn't provide a full financial disclosure, but rather simply disclosed that all of her holdings, which total almost $2 million, are held by a company called Cerity Partners Investment Account. And that's it. And she identifies the state retirement account and a couple of houses that they own, and that's it. Well, we said, where is this GERWA LLC company? Because clearly the Michigan records show that she is some sort of principal or fiduciary in that company, even if it's just an attorney. She's an it's obviously more than that, because as we see from looking at those records, it's some sort of family trust that he used and started in 1999, which means she's surely a beneficiary in the family trust. So that was disclosable. So what we have here is a piece of hard evidence that you guys can take to court, because it shows that she withheld any information from the public financial disclosure in 2019 of this LLC that her and her father have on the side, and that she did not disclose. And we also see from other investigation records that that LLC has a federal employee identification number, so presumably it employs people. And because it's an LLC and not an Inc., and I know that distinction is kind of lost on most people, but one of the key reasons you have an LLC is so that the LLC can't hold money at the end of the year and has to distribute any profits or losses to the members in that organization, and therefore zero out your books at the end of every year. And by doing that, this is a very curious operation here. It's possible all kinds of holdings or pass-throughs or even things like money laundering could be occurring through this LLC, and we'll never see it. All we'll see is the name of the LLC. So because she did not, here's the bottom line, because she did not disclose it on the 2019 financial disclosure, she is now has committed a criminal act because she's withheld material information about a family holding that the public doesn't know about. And at the very minimum, she needs to come clean on what's going on with this operation. Now, minds start to wonder. She goes down and visits her father in Florida on this private junket so that nobody can see that she's going. And it's reasonable speculation that it was something to do with this LLC business. And we need to know, especially the people in Michigan need to know. But because Michigan itself is so intertwined now in this national election rigging system, the business of Michigan has now become our business.
This is so shady. You know, when a company's got a name you can't pronounce, you just have to wonder. And then this group that she's in, it's, you know, many people try to say, like the judges try to say, well, I don't know what's in my mutual funds holding. Therefore, just because I'm making a ruling against Facebook and it happens to be the number one investment I have in my portfolio, I don't look at my portfolio. Therefore, I'm not responsible and I didn't know I was going to make any money. Oh, that's right. If we look at Gretchen Whitmer, let's see, she's got stock in Diebold, the corrupt voting machine company that basically was bought by Dominion. And so, yes, here she is defending Dominion when, in fact, she makes money off the Dominion deal and she makes money by defending Dominion. She's also got holdings in Pfizer. Hello. And that's she right. is basically the witch from hell when it comes to COVID and vaccinations and all of the draconian measures that are recommended by the CDC, World Health Organization, the NIH. Okay, so she benefits from that. She's
You skipped Merck.
Merck, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson.
By the way, AstraZeneca PLC, which is the British version, that the parent version of AstraZeneca is in her holding portfolio.
Could she have any more conflicts of interest? I mean, I guess she could. But when you have a dozen or two, it seems like that's plenty to note that you got elected as governor in a very George Soros-supported manner, and you ended up with your inauguration donations exceeding what you needed by $1.5 million, and you keep having donations given to your inauguration NGO. I mean, think of that. I mean, that is so clearly a slush fund. And then the conflict of interest that she has, and it doesn't matter whether she says she knows that she has those funds or not, because she surely does.
Well, wait a second. No, it does matter. Here's I have heard that argument so often since we discovered this game they play with something called the Safe Harbor Rule. No, not a rule. Safe Harbor Concept. That's what it was called in 2001 when the Judicial Conference created it. And what they were specifically looking to do was stop having to identify in their financial disclosures their actual holdings of stock in a corporation. And they started moving all these stocks into mutual funds. And then that would give the judge, in that case, the excuse to just identify the name of the mutual fund so they did not have to disclose the material holdings underneath that fund. That was the game that was being played. They call it the Safe Harbor Concept. And since then, everyone across the board in public life is using that Safe Harbor idea as if it's law. And it's not even a guideline. It's a concept. And yet you see that everywhere you look with bureaucrats, with politicians, and with judges. And so her holding almost $2 million in Serity Partners LLC, interesting, another LLC, is massive. And if you look through the list of holdings, the stocks that this company has, it's the who's who of the Pilgrim Society. You forgot to mention Amazon and Microsoft, two other players in the current election fraud, because the Dominion systems are using Microsoft systems, and Amazon Cloud was involved in the overseas activity of Seidel, in addition to Apple. So she's got holdings in Alibaba, the Chinese social network, Goldman Sachs, Boeing, Johnson & Johnson, Citigroup, Abbott Labs, another one, Accenture Ireland. You mentioned Pfizer. How about Broadcom, AT&T, Amgen, and Gillian Services?
Mike, let me ask you something. Do you think this fund has been set up just to do the very thing that it's doing, providing payolas to all these corrupt governors and senators? I mean, who else is in this CERTA company?
Okay, let me give one we haven't talked about. CrowdStrike. She holds stock in CrowdStrike.
So she holds stock in all the companies that are benefiting from the Great Reset and the genocide of humanity.
That's what it looks like to me.
Murdering Michiganders. And we are thoroughly disgusted, but equally disgusted, I am as a Michigander, with the Senate here that's not doing their job. They need to be pounding on Atrum County and getting those election boxes and checking out the IP addresses where they're going to find that they go right over to Seidel. So it's foreign election interference, and Gretchen Whitmer is making money off of it. And I want to tell you something else. She's also making money off of everyone she killed with her nursing home policy. Oh, but the stock goes up. So she and all the cronies who own this stock benefit.
The reason I think we don't hear anything, we hear crickets from our elected officials about this issue of financial holdings, is if you look at this list, which I think Betsy has posted, you will see companies that probably every public official holds that's in their portfolio, either directly or through some mutual fund, or in this case, an investment manager. This Serity companies are really curious. They only have about 2,000 or 3,000 clients, and they appear to be the self-anointed elite. And because it's an LLC, that means it's got to distribute all of its profits and losses to their holders at the end of every year. So this is an interesting way of handling payola by having the payola company become a stockholder in Serity and then telling the public officials to invest in Serity and we'll take care of you. So this whole as far as I can tell, this is probably the best summary of the Pilgrim Society interlock companies that I've seen, and it's current. And it's only about, let me count the number.
Well, I have to tell you that I have sent this research
658 companies.
To the Detroit News and also to Crane's Business here in Detroit. And so far, crickets from them. Hey,
well, of
folks.
Course.
Why aren't they reporting this? This has to do with business. They understand how to read financial statements. They understand what's under the hood. Why aren't they telling us in Michigan what's going on? Why is everybody silent? Why are they allowing her to run this crime?
It's easy. Easy to understand. These are the companies that pay them advertising fees. They're not going to say a word because it kills their revenue. So the media is completely under the lock and key of these companies. And this is what we've been seeing. This is corporatist takeover of the United States. These are the interlocked companies that you take this list. I think you could take this list to the bank in terms of who
you can't
is
take it
organizing.
To the banks because they're knee deep with silver rigging. Sorry, that was a joke.
That was an expression.
That's right. I'm really riled up about it because this is our state. Now it's getting really close to home. And it seems like as much dirt have, I know you don't like to call it dirt, let's say truth revelations on a lot of characters. How about that Jocelyn Benson, who's Secretary of State? She and her husband are all cozy up with the pilgrims. I mean, what are we running here? Is this the extension of the British Empire here in Michigan?
Most definitely.
It's the Michigan office of George Soros. Remember that anybody who has excess money at the end of their attempted election, if they have excess money, they were given money through George Soros NGOs. So if we looked closely at her, we would see that she is connected to the big pharmaceutical companies, the big chemical companies in Detroit. And her dad, you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield, what's that about? You got to make the sick people or Blue Cross Blue Shield, you know, really won't make its money. It's all about fear. It's about the pharmaceutical wars. She has invested in surety, basically what the Uniparty knew was going to come, the pandemic.
Right.
Those are pandemic stocks. Now, it isn't, she's going to say, well, I didn't choose any of those companies. I just buy into this network that has these associations of purchases. Incorrect. It's just like Mellon Optima, Comey, Mueller, when they weren't being in charge of some federal agency, they were being the lawyer for Bridgewater and for Mellon Optima. Mm-hmm. Mellon Optima, at one point, to be an investor, to get your 36% return, okay, I'm going to repeat that because that is the most unbelievable number in history, 36% return on your money, you had to invest $10 million or you couldn't be one of their members of their group. Well, how is it that they happen to always get the best returns of anyone and they charge the most to be part of it and the most corrupt lawyers, FBI directors, and Department of Justice leaders all come over to work for them? Isn't that an amazing thing? So I see surety as nothing more than the Uniparty Soros bet on what corporations are going to make a killing from the political manipulations and machinations that, in this case, we can call the pandemic. But if it wasn't the pandemic, it would be whatever else would be the most corrupt thing happening, which would then be the companies that surety would buy into. And then, of course, if you're one of the people invited, and you probably have to be invited into this group, and you're a governor, well, look at the collusion. That is insider trading that is tantamount to what the Knights of Malta do or the Pilgrim Society. This is insider trading of the worst magnitude.
Yeah, there's no
bet. She, as a governor, is disgusting to participate in it.
Douglas, there's no good bet. You use the word bet as if and you don't know what the result's going to be, and so you take your risk, which average person on Main Street, these guys know what's going to happen. This is a sure thing. So they only let a certain small group of people into this club. And as we can tell from Surity's own disclosures, it's less than 5,000 people. And it's the who's who of all these corruptocrat companies. Vanguard's massive in here. BlackRock's huge in here.
Well, on top of that, Mike, if we look back at the election, the gubernatorial election in Michigan in 2018, you see, we had some pretty amazing candidates in the Republican Party. We had Patrick Kolbeck and Bill Schuette. But then out of the blue comes this Whitmer lady. No one even knew who she was. And then she wins. I'm telling you, folks, go back to 2018. You're going to find out that the elections were rigged then the same way they're rigged now. Just check the records and you'll see that she was selected. She was not elected by the people at Dominion. Oh, yes. Are you going to show that piece of paper now?
I am going to show you another, point out another holding. CRISPR Therapeutics AG, which is a German company. CRISPR, isn't that where the mRNA vaccine from what's the name of that company?
BioNTech,
yeah. CRISPR.
Well,
This is the technology for which people were knighted in England, CRISPR.
Yes. And the owner of CRISPR has come out repeatedly, and you can see it all over the internet, where he says it can't be used to determine any kind of illness, any kind of viruses, or if you turn it up above number 35, it's completely inaccurate. And most of the testing for COVID that comes up with the false positives are up in the 37-40 range of iteration of the test. So the point is that CRISPR, along with AstraZeneca, along with Pfizer, along with Johnson & Johnson, these are all people who knew ahead of time the pandemic was coming, and investment in those companies is a surety. That's the reason they name it surety.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Because it's a sure bet. It's like saying, I wonder if Mellon Optima is going to make good returns on their hedge fund this year. That's like asking first off, they're an offshore hedge fund, so they don't pay taxes. Second off, they're just like a George Soros. George Soros never paid taxes on his quantum fund, never paid taxes. He's the biggest tax evader in America, and yet he is the biggest influencer in America through non-government organizations. So I'm not just hammering against the Democratic Party. I'm hammering against the Uniparty. Because Gretchen Whitmer could have gone either way. You know, these people, they don't care what party they're part of. They just need to be concerned about where their election funds are going to come and whether or not the election machines have been rigged for them. They're told ahead of time if the election machines have been fractionalized to have the Democrats or the Republicans win. That's a guarantee. That's like saying you think, that's like certifying the vote in Detroit. You must be kidding. I used to quote the exact statistics because literally there were 80,000 people more in Detroit that voted for Biden than there are people living in Detroit. Okay? The entire population of Detroit, children, men, women, would all have had to have voted for Biden. Nobody voted at all for Trump. And yet there was 80,000 people more that voted than there are people in Detroit. Now, this is the same thing that was found when Jill Stein and Hillary Clinton started their recount. People forget they started a recount. They went to three states. But it's evil for the Republicans to consider a recount in Arizona or Wisconsin or New Hampshire or Pennsylvania. Oh, no, that's evil. That is immediately chastised by the Democrats and by the mainstream media as being racism for some reason, as being fascist for some reason, because you want a recount when you know that there was fraud. But this is the kind of thing that they are part of. So when you see that Diebold was sold so that Optech could go to Dominion, then of course there are repercussions for all the people who owned stock through surety. So she is making money hands over fist, and every decision she makes makes money for her. And I just want to point out that her dad is the meanest looking, most corrupt person. We haven't investigated him, but I looked at it a little bit. This guy was a lawyer who was corrupt, who took over Blue Cross Blue Shield. And remember, it was basically bankrupt. He's the guy who turned it around and then built one of the largest buildings in Detroit for Blue Cross Blue Shield and then started charging so much money and started gouging people and ripping people off with Blue Cross Blue Shield by not paying their insurance bills that he became a hero and a filthy rich man. And now you're pointing out that he probably has a trust fund for his little daughter And his little daughter is in the pocket of the big chemical companies, which are huge in Detroit, and a few other large companies, so that she can use their private jet to fly down to see daddy. And here's the only reason I can imagine that wretched Gretchen Whitmore, the Hitler of
it's
Michigan.
Whitmer. Like yeah. Whitler, Hitler. She's Hitler, a piece Whitler. Of human garbage. I want to tell you something. She has profited off of the death of citizens in Michigan and the ruination of Michigan businesses. If you're a small business and you had to close because of her draconian measures, well, you lost your business. But old Gretchen, she won because her stock holdings brought profits to her. So she wins. Citizens die. Michigan businesses close. And not only that, think about what's happened to our children. They were kept from their classrooms. They're having to be strapped in masks. The psychological ramifications of this, who knows what this will be? This is Gretchen Whitmer. And then let's not stop, because what's going to happen with the deaths due to the vaccinations, which are really bioweapons that the companies that she owns stocks in are going to profit. This woman needs to be tarred and feathered. And I'll tell you what, if you're a legislator in the state of Michigan and you support her at all, we want to look at your financial holdings and see how you're getting paid off. Because if you're saying that this evidence that we are showing is not a reason to take her down in a legal way, of course, then what is?
Well, I think I was going to say this earlier. This list, from our experience of looking at thousands of these now, I think you could probably look at the holdings of every corrupt person up in Michigan that's done corrupt acts and look into their financial holdings, and you'll see some crosswalk with this list. This is a master list. Every one of these companies probably needs to go away.
Well, some of them are depopulation, eugenicist, murdering corporations. And to underscore what Tyler said earlier, first off, the entire legislature of Michigan should simply be fired because they didn't impeach her. They didn't recall her and impeach her. And when there was attempts, and they said they were going to, and they said they were going to try to restrict her draconian fascist methods that were being basically caught, as I say, somebody please add up all the suicides in Michigan. She's responsible for each and every one of them. Because the reality is she didn't need ever to do what she did. And we know, because her director of health for the state of Michigan resigned after she turned in all those false numbers. And the false numbers were how many people had died in Detroit. The numbers coming out of Detroit, 6,000 people died in Detroit. No, incorrect. We know that it's about 6%. So that's about what? That's 6% of 6,000. That's how many really died. But if you take how many people committed suicide, lost their lives, lost their businesses, and their lives are ruined, it would go into the tens of thousands. So I'm afraid that the Michigan legislature has no testicles. They don't have what it takes to stand up to this wicked witch. And going back to my previous point, there's only one reason she should go to Florida to see her dad, period. One and one reason only: to pick up bearer bonds or cash. So if daddy's dying, yeah, she'd need to make that trip at all costs, $27,000 for that seat on that plane, so that she could get something in person that she couldn't trust somebody else to pick up.
Right.
Because there's no way that she didn't know her dad's condition. And if her dad's condition was serious, then, as I say, she wouldn't have been able to see him.
Well, obviously that's speculation because we don't know. But what we do know is that she did not disclose her dad's LLC, where she made representations as a principal, and therefore she committed a crime in her 2019 financial disclosure before she became governor. That is a crime, and here's the solid evidence. So, you know, what do they say about Al Capone? They got him on taxes when he was one of the most murderous bastards you could ever imagine. And yet that's what took him down. And this could take her down, I think. The problem I see with this is that most people who look at this, oh, well, it's not that bad. There's not that much money. You know, okay, yeah, it's holdings, but you know, there's a lot of holdings in here and it's not very much, but the rule is, the rule before 2001, when they created this scam called the safe harbor concept, is that even if your spouse holds one share in a company that's coming before you as a judge, you have to recuse. That was the rule. And after the safe harbor rule, basically these guys don't pay any attention at all to their conflicts of interest. And if somebody brings it up, actually, most attorneys won't bring it up. This has been my experience. Almost no attorney will bring it up. In fact, that makes them a codependent, a co-addict in allowing these judges to get away with it. Well, the same occurs with the financial disclosures of politicians, because other people may want to run against this person and don't want their backgrounds dug into. They don't say anything when somebody else has got holdings that they shouldn't have. And if we're going to raise the bar on our ethics, then we have to start paying attention to these rules. On paper, our rules are okay until all these lawyers started fiddling around with this safe harbor concept. We need to go back to the common law rules of ethics and move forward from there, and then require that our officials follow them. Right now, we don't require anybody to follow, but they read good on paper. So us people on Main Street, we're cleverly fooled, and they just laugh.
Well, Gretchen Whitmore, I call Gretchen Whitless, though her name is Whitmer, she knew that she was going to be the governor. None of us knew it, but because the machines were rigged, she got elected. I didn't see her campaigning at all. I didn't even know she was campaigning. I didn't know who she was until she was elected. And we can see that the way she has dodged everything, when the legislature did try to put a dampening down on her, what did she do? She ignored them, and she went to other government agencies, state agencies, and still did exactly what she wanted.
Okay, Douglas, can I stop you there? Because I think we know how that happens now. When a person like that wants to be, when this group behind her wants to put her in place, one of the things they have to do is they have already had to compromise everyone in your state legislature. Well, one of the things we know they've been doing for decades is giving these elected officials insider financial tips. And just like Jeffrey Epstein did with pedophilia, do you think that somebody who's getting an insider tip is not also being recorded? So they give them the tip, they record the fact that they're getting the tip, and the person then invests in that particular company, and then they start benefiting because the stock goes up. So they may never say anything to them until at some point they want them to do something like support her. And so what they'll do is, hey, you remember 8 years ago and I gave you that tip? Well, let me play you this little recording. That's going to silence all these ambitious politicians. They're just going to go to sleep. It's going to neuter the entire legislative process, just this act alone of playing games with these financial holdings. They don't need any more.
Yeah, and when your daddy's that rich and that powerful and that wealthy and, you know, and that mean and that nasty and a lawyer to boot, then you think that you deserve all this. Because here's the reality. George Soros gave the money for Jocelyn Benson to become the Secretary of State for the corrupted election that he needed. She was the one leading the corruption. We're going to see where that goes. It will go back to her and it'll go back to the governor. I say George Soros, I know George Soros was behind giving probably money that could not be in any way traced. He gave huge amounts of money to Tlaib Rashid in Michigan to run on a platform of Sharia law and unbelievable anti-Americanism. Rashid Tlaib took $45,000 from donated money to her campaign and paid herself just because she needed $45,000. So she was accused of this corruption. Nothing happened. Benson, all kinds of corruption. Nothing happened. And now we see the corruption with the election certifying Detroit.
Oh, by the way, Benson's corruption is centered around Wayne State Law School. So I think there needs to be an investigation of that, because there are just too many people associated with Wayne State who've made trips and worked with people in London, with the various law firms involved with the Pilgrim Society, not to have that investigated.
Yeah, and now here's the sad news, and it's very easy to have derived this information from simply paying attention. Instead of having Montel Williams whore, Kamala Harris, basically the California whore, everybody, that's what they called her, the California whore, because she went up all the way to the top by being a whore, a prostitute. I mean, she just didn't charge money except for political clout, you know, political investment. So who do we have as vice president now? That was not the choice. George Soros' choice was Gretchen Whitmer. How do we know that? Because she had unlimited funds. She came out of nowhere. She defeated a number of candidates. Either one of the two in the primary could have beaten her and should have beaten her, because she was a nobody from nowhere with nothing, and she's just a mean, ugly person. How she got elected, no one seems to know. Ask anybody. Anybody vote for her? Nobody that I know ever voted for her.
She was selected. She was not elected.
She was to be the vice president, which meant she was going to become our president. Now, she got, and why did she become so fascist? Because she had to show the Democrats that she could be as insane as an Adam Schiff, as Nancy Pelosi, as Schumer. She went insane. The only person more insane than her during all of this was Gavin Newsom. And he, too, is, you know, going to be vying, because he's a relative of Pelosi's. He intends to be in the White House at some point. But we could have had Gretchen Whitmer, the Hitler of Michigan, as our vice president, standing waiting for Joe to die, because that's what they're waiting for. Joe might already be dead for all we know, but for certain he's brain dead, and Kamala Harris is not running the show. That's why she hasn't gone to the southern border. She hasn't made any statements about Israel. It is the previous administration that they've, some of these people don't even have positions in the administration, and they're the ones who are running the country right now. Biden doesn't even know what's going on. Kamala Harris hasn't even shown up for the job yet.
Douglas, I just have to say this because we have New Yorker friends who are up there dying on the vine because of their crapola Governor Cuomo. So he is vying a close, let's just call it a race of three, Cuomo and Gavin Newsom and Gretchen.
All murderers, all lied about the murdering, all will not allow any investigation to take place. Gretchen Whitmer will not allow anyone to look at the statistics of the deaths in Detroit or any of the medical records. And the person who had told all those big fat lies that got us into the unbelievable fascist response that Gretchen Whitmer put on Michigan, she quit. And basically no one has taken that helm. So in Michigan, it is just running rampantly, insane, without any controls. Anytime anyone tries to sue Gretchen Whitmer, she gets out of it, and then she creates a new rule or regulation or administrative decision that basically is a runaround. It's just her quick fix to make sure that she gets George Soros' agenda accomplished. And what is George Soros' agenda right now? It's open borders. But it's the attack. These are attacks. The pandemic is an attack. The migrants in Europe are an attack. Our southern border is an attack. Our federal government being handed over to Pilgrim Society through the senior executive service, a continuous attack. And who do those people serve? They serve the people who don't pay taxes and who manipulate the world through non-government organizations and or their donations through their supposed philanthropic donations. But all those philanthropic organizations double, quadruple, sometimes 10 to 100 times they multiply the money that was given as a donation. For instance, look at the donations given by Bill Gates. He has stock in the big pharmaceutical companies. So when he gave donations, $100 million to the CDC, that's nothing. He's going to make billions from that supposed philanthropic donation. So when Gretchen Whitmer's shady NGO gives her money, she stands up and literally she herself and her spokesperson have both said It's completely legal what we did, and we don't need to justify it, and we're not going to talk about it anymore. And so it's going to continue, folks. Why she didn't get impeached, why she didn't get recalled and impeached, I cannot imagine, because the damage done to Michigan is irreparable.
I told you why, Douglas. They have stuff on every one of your legislators, so they're silent. They're completely neutered. You got to start over here.
Well, there's one who was a state senator twice who we've met with, and he was going to try to take the governor position. And he's somewhat of an honest person, and they have crucified him. They are destroying him. They are economically attacking him, politically attacking him. They have come out, and he has now the responsibility of handling lawsuits as well as testimony before the state about the election rigging. So here's a person who's not even in government, makes a statement, and now has to answer to the state government for having free speech. That's where we live in Michigan. There is no, this is not America. This is not even the Constitution of Michigan that we're under right now. This is a constitution of fascism through a pharmaceutical World War III. And we are being basically controlled by people like George Soros, who control the levers of money, and particularly the election money corruption, which is just as big as the right. Election fraud corruption for, changing votes, fake votes, fake ballots, and all those things.
Yep. These are the interlocking companies that are making their move on our country. She happens to have given us a gift, because this Cerity group has obviously invested in all the key players that are getting all the inside information. So I would suggest that everybody who's listening to this, look at that list and memorize it, because these companies are not going to change quickly. If you look back at the companies that were part of the Marshall Plan in 1948, you're going to see many of these corporations on that list. And if you go back and look at the list of corporations that were benefiting from World War I, you're going to see many of the corporations or their predecessors on this list. This is a really good list. So the thing that I think we have today, and I haven't seen anybody disclose it, so it looks like it's new disclosure, is that this LLC that her father owns and she's a part of was not disclosed, and therefore she has committed a crime on her financial disclosure. That's enough to take her down, if you have an honest judge, which I know is probably an oxymoron, but...
Yes. Now, we've discussed this before, that just because you have a 401... just because you got your 501c3 or you have some kind of tax protection, you have to obey the rules. And most of these NGOs are completely partisan. And to be an NGO, you have to be nonpartisan. So from the get-go, whether it's the Pilgrim Society, whether it's the, any of them that are supporting the Democrats, for instance, you can consider Black Lives Matter, Antifa. Those are George Soros-sponsored groups paid through Tides Foundation, the Open Society Foundation. They're paid through all these different methods to come out and basically run an agenda. Well, when you're looking at Surety as an investment company, they have an agenda, because everybody else has their retirement in the companies. If you have enough money and you can buy into it, even... small amounts, you buy into the interlocking companies that are the, 20 richest companies in America who all own each other. And that's standard. Surety is not that. Surety is sure of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. They bought the pandemic stock. Why would you buy pandemic stock?
You could say it's a hedge fund for pandemics, pandemic, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Because hedge funds have a theme, and this is their theme. Great Reset, pandemic.
They've got Home Depot in here. All the tech firms, including Zoom.
Well, Home Depot, because it's busted. The stock has gone because people were home and they were working on projects in home. And of course, look at lumber prices now. Yep. Yeah. I mean, does she have now? I don't recall seeing Ford, GM, or Chrysler.
Yes,
not Chrysler.
Ford's on.
Yeah,
Ford's
okay. Because they're pushing the electric vehicles.
Lloyd's of London, all the big banks.
Yeah.
Schwab, Texas Instrument, Intel. I mean, this is classic.
Yes. Well, now citizens know that this is the technique that is used by our politicians to hide how they're getting paid. So you must educate yourself on how to read the financial statements. Now, we heard from one reader that said, oh, really? You know, nobody has time to read that and you can't find that stuff. Well, Michael, you found it, what, in 2 seconds flat on the internet in a public area?
2 minutes.
Two minutes. Okay. Yeah. So the thing is that's just lazy talk to make you stand down and not ask the right questions. But every legislator in the Michigan State House, if they're not working to get rid of Whitmer and to roll back these draconian measures, citizens start looking at the financials. They had to make a first disclosure, look inside and see what that fund is, who holds it, and see if it's not related to what you see on the streets going on with the pandemic.
That's right. And then also look at their relationship disclosures. And what's generally going to happen is you're going to see something that's withheld. And you kind of have to read between the lines a bit sometimes to figure out where to get started. But what we have uniformly seen is that these people can't hide everything. And that's where the opportunity exists.
Well, I'd say beyond a shadow of a doubt, looking at the company investments, the stock that she has invested in these corporations, that she is a Pilgrim Society member because she is basically making money off all the Pilgrim Society's ventures. And I want to point out that not only is this a pandemic hedge fund, as Tyler just pointed out, it is a British-oriented. Who in America buys stock in AstraZeneca? They don't even know it exists. They'd buy GlaxoSmithKline, or they'd buy a Perbright, but you wouldn't buy the very companies that before the pandemic didn't even make vaccines. Okay. Why would anybody have that list unless you knew ahead of time exactly what was planned with this scam pandemic? So
by the way, you are a British subject
who is a Pilgrim Society member, who is a cheating, lying, corrupt corporatist, and you're part of the corporate dynasty with your own father. So you know what? I really do hope that what we're doing here today brings this to light and that somebody takes some action who has the authority to make her answer to the law, because this is a person who acts completely lawlessly with complete impunity, she can't be caught.
I don't think she has thought that much about it because she has been told they will take care of her. And so I don't think that's why she's so arrogant and cocky, I think, is because she knows that she is protected by these people. And these people have something on most of our elected officials and our judges. And so therefore, they can pull the lever of compromise anytime they want. This whole system has taken quite almost 20 years since that safe harbor rule to build up to where they've got these financials organized in such a way that everyone on the planet is invested in this or that mutual fund. I mean, look at all the 401ks that have mutual funds. So if I have a mutual fund and I'm a good guy, let's say I try to be an honest person. So went out and I invested in a couple of mutual funds, and all of a sudden I start hearing bad talk about some of the stocks inside my mutual funds. Am I going to say something when the time comes for me to have to be honest and disclose some corruption that's going on? I think most of the time people are going to be silent, and that's what we've seen. It's kind of like an alcoholic family. After a while, you just don't say anything about the alcoholism because it doesn't do you any good. And at that point, you then enable the alcoholic to continue drinking. And in this case, the silence of the American public and the silence of the American public official is so loud that nobody talks about it. And in doing that, we let our judges get away with it. We let our politicians get away with it. I mean, I've had situations where I've called some congressman's office about some of their holdings, and that's about the only time you'll get them to return a call, is when you ask them something that they're concerned about ever getting out. It's quite interesting that they will ignore you any other time, because this is the mechanism of compromise. This is a fantastical mechanism of compromise, the whole mutual fund system, I think. And then we've got this angle, which is kind of new. It's this company is enormous in the tens of billions of dollars, and yet they distribute all their earnings every year out to their members. Amazing.
It might as well be a hedge fund. So this underscores the fact that the archetypal picture of Governor Whitless is the perfect example of rotting our political system, rotting from the inside out. She is a hot mess and is ignored. Why? Because the rest of the political system is equally as messed up. So unfortunately, that's okay, because civilizations come to an end, and what is happening here is this is rotting fruit on the vine, and she's a perfect example of it. She is a rotting, disgusting, evil person who has now become a murderer for the sake of her own political advancement, and it needs to be stopped. She needs to come to justice.